This is Motivated Christian Radio, a weekly religious news report. The Israeli Air Force launched an extensive airstrikes on Houthi-controlled Sana'a, Yemen, killing at least 4 people and wounding 67, in response to a ballistic missile attack on Israel 2 days earlier. The Houthis, an Iran-backed militia, have repeatedly targeted Israel with missiles and drones since late 2023. Christians in Pakistan's Punjab province were reeling from fresh threats by suspected Islamic extremists following the murder of a manual worker they said was killed for his faith in Christ. And Dr. James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family, one of the most influential evangelical Christian organizations in the United States and worldwide, has died. He was 89. Israel and Syria may be on the verge of signaling a landmark security agreement after weeks of U.S.-mandated discussions, according to reports in Hebrew and Arab media. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu confirmed that Israel struck one of the main hospitals in the Gaza Strip, killing journalists and rescue workers in what he called a tragic mishap. U.S. President Donald Trump claimed that the war in Gaza will reach a conclusive ending within the next 2 to 3 weeks, though it remains unclear what his forecast is based on. An Israeli military strike on Nasser Hospital in southern Gaza city of Khan Yunis killed at least 20 people, including 5 journalists, according to a local health authorities and international media outlets. Evangelist Ray Comfort is known for boldly sharing the gospel through movies, social media, and other creative means. But the Living Waters founder also has a passion for in-person, one-on-one dialogue with young people. U.S. Special Envoy Thomas Barak met Lebanese President Joseph Aoun at Babdar Palace for high-stakes talks on Hezbollah's future, warning that Lebanon risks sliding back into civil conflict unless progress is made on disarmament. And thousands of protesters flooded streets and highways across Israel in a nationwide day of action demanding the government reach an agreement for the release of the roughly 50 hostages still held in Gaza. And Israeli Defense Forces released preliminary findings on the deadly strike at Nasser Hospital, acknowledging that at least 6 of the roughly 20 Palestinians killed were terrorists, while also admitting serious mistakes in the operation. And Christians expressed concern after Uttarakhand approved India's most severe anti-conversion legislation, prescribing life imprisonment and steep fines for what the Hindu nationalist ruled state calls forced conversion. And American evangelist Edward Edward Graham, 45, the grandson of the late preacher Billy Graham, has been on a preaching and prayer mission in war-torn Ukraine at Kyiv's invitation, Woody News learned. And a 16-year-old Christian girl in Pakistan has been rescued after she was allegedly abducted by a Muslim man who forced her to convert to Islam, marry him in a sham ceremony, and endure months of abuse, rights advocates said. Archaeologists in Jerusalem's City of David have uncovered the largest dam ever found in ancient Israel, a monumental waterworks dating back nearly 2,800 years to the reign of Kings Hoshea or Amaziah of Judah. And the White House is preparing to host a pivotal summit as President Donald Trump seeks to present a comprehensive plan for Gaza's future with his Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff, underscoring the administration's insistence on full hostage freedom and Hamas accountability. The Israeli military confirmed Wednesday that the Israeli Air Force eliminated Mohammed Aswad, Hamas's general security apparatus leader in western Gaza, in a targeted strike. Christians in Pakistan are stepping up relief efforts for victims of the catastrophic monsoon floods that have left hundreds dead, displaced more than 200,000 people, and wiped out entire villages, church leaders said Wednesday. And the Church of England has apologized after the former leader of a once-celebrated evangelical congregation in Sheffield was convicted earlier this month of sexually abusing women in his flock during the 1980s and 1990s. And scientists at a Medical Research Council's laboratory on molecular biology say they've engineered a bacteria whose genetic code is more efficient than any other life form on Earth. And there are multiple signs that revival has broken out in the United States based on Google searches alone, but there are other indicators too. Most of the folks live here in this remote part of eastern Kazakhstan. One of those believers is Glenisa. She comes from a Muslim background and for 5 years struggled with chronic illness. I was unwell and wouldn't leave my home for 5 years, she told CBN News. I would read the Quran and pray Muslim ritual prayers and went to mullahs of those that used tarot cards but couldn't find any help. But then Glenisa says something changed. Jesus appeared to her in a dream. Jesus himself came to me in a dream, she recounted. I had something like a ball of black, white cord in my hand and it was unraveling and the road was white and Jesus said, it's ours. He smiled at me. At first, she didn't know who this Jesus was, and she was determined to find out. I looked for Jesus' image online, and then I realized that he was like the man in my dreams, who was dressed in white and bright light, was emanating from him, she said. Now she's part of a small house church in the village. It's led by Marit and Nicolesia, who moved here from western Kazakhstan to share the gospel with them. Life here is very difficult, she told CBN News. When we moved here for the first time, we were in shock for the entire week. We didn't know what to do. We lived in a barn, didn't have any money. We were sitting and crying about what we should do. We started to pray, and we heard Jesus' voice. "Don't cry, my son and my daughter. I will give you strength. Whatever I tell you, just do it." And they did. 2 years later, about a dozen people now attend their weekly services. My wife and I are praying that God will touch everyone among the Uyghur community here so they would all hear the good news and spread God's word. "That the reason we are here," said Merit Lazov, who co-pastors the house church. Another evangelist, Gul Bakaram, visits village after village in this area, sharing the gospel one door at a time. "I visit people's homes almost every day. God gives me faith and love to spread his message of grace," he told CBN News. "Sometimes people don't listen and aren't interested. Other times they want me to share more about the gospel. When I talk to people, the Holy Spirit is working, and I'm grateful to God for this precious gift. I can't express with words how happy I am." Australian-American Wally Kulaka gets very emotional when he sees firsthand how God is moving so powerfully amongst the Uyghur people groups here along the Kazakhstan's eastern border with China. "My parents prayed, my grandparents prayed, and who sees the results? Me," said emotional Wally. "I say, why, Lord? Why is it me? Why is it me, O Lord, to be able to see answered prayers of my parents?" Kulaka's grandparents and parents spent decades in this region. "My mother was there. My dad was 9 years old. They lived amongst the people for a period of 30 years," he said. "They spoke their language, they understood their culture, they ate their food, they lived together with them. They labored to share Christ's love despite immense challenges, often seeing little fruit for their efforts. You have no boundaries for the Holy Spirit. There is no boundary for what you can do," Carlos said during a prayer service. Now, Kulaka walks the same soil, having spent 25 years as a missionary here. He has seen firsthand how God is moving among the Uyghurs and other ethnic groups of Central Asia. He's humbled by their prayers and perseverance of his family, who planted seeds of faith they never saw bloom. 100 years later, for me to come back and see the Uyghur people, Carlos said, this is an emotional moment. I can rejoice in the fact that they are coming to know God slowly but methodically, and Jesus Christ appears to these people. Kulaka, Rico, and other believers recently met at the Kazakh-China border to pray for the Lord's continued move across the region. As the seeds of faith grow in the hearts of the people, one thing is clear. In this vast land of Kazakhstan, God's presence is undeniable, and the journey of transformation has only just begun. This year's Harvest Crusade saw thousands give their lives to Jesus Christ during a one-night special event held at Angel Stadium in Anaheim, California. More than 45,000 people filled that area, while an additional 200,000 watched online. Harvest Christian Fellowship Senior Pastor Greg Loy shared on social media that more than 6,500 people made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. The heart of the Harvest Crusade for the past 35 years has been the proclamation of the gospel when the invitation to follow Jesus Christ was given. So many people came forward that the fire marshals had to stop them, with others backed up in the aisles. A first for Angel Stadium, Lori shared in the post. Please pray for all those who invited Christ into their lives tonight. May they be seed planted on good ground and grow strong in their faith. While Lori has held these soul-winning events worldwide since 1990, the evangelist sees a powerful move of God currently happening in California. There is a spiritual hunger in California, he shared. I believe that God wants to do another great work in this state that we call the Golden State. The last great spiritual awakening happened here in this state of California, and I pray it will happen again. We had an amazing night at the Harvest Crusade. The stadium was over capacity, with more than 45,000 people in attendance and more than 200 people viewing online. We also had over 500 radio stations across the U.S. broadcasting the event live, and God answered our prayers. Thousands raised their hand as they joined Grammy Award-winning artist Chris Tomlin and Brooke Ligetwood, along with Dove Award-winning artist Cabbie Job and her husband Cody Carnes in worship. Of the 55 million tourists who visit the Windy City each year, very few flock to Chicago's South Side, an area notorious for crime and battered neighborhoods that have seen brighter days. Yet, that's precisely where Kyle Martin, with a background in business and Bible studies, figuratively dropped his map pen. He saw something more, an outreach opportunity. There's a label of Englewood. There's a label of the back of the yards. Oh, it's tough. It's rough, man. Nobody wants you to come, he said on a hot and humid summer day, referencing two Southside neighborhoods. We've seen the opposite. Martin has a passion for evangelism that has taken him across the country and overseas. His latest stop encompassed an expansive Southside Chicago block where his ministry, Time to Revive, set up shop to share the gospel by handing out thousands of pairs of shoes synonymous with a Chicago legend, Nike Air Jordans. We wait in line 3 or 4 hours in front of Foot Locker, our champs, for every Jordan release, said Javier Davis, who resides in Nashville, but drove back to his hometown to volunteer with Martin's ministry outreach. To do it for Jesus, to do it for God, it's a beautiful thing, Davis reflected, looking at the line of hundreds waiting for the shoe giveaway. The Texas-based Ministry Chicago event nearly hit its goal of distributing 5,000 Air Jordans. It had handed out 3,800 pair in 5 days. A local ministry will distribute the remaining 1,200 shoes that were donated to Martin's Time to Revive. During the June outreach, volunteers set up large tents, a mobile kitchen, and portable toilets to host the event. Staffed with security, logistics coordinators, and hundreds of volunteers from more than 20 states and 3 who traveled out of the country to participate. We have all 3 shoes, but we don't want to have it be mass chaos, said Time to Revive's Laura Martin, Kyle's wife, while guiding CBN News camera crew on a tour of the outdoor operation. It feels like a process, like all the tents and all the stations, but the heart behind it is that people will be welcomed into a place, she explained. We have a spirit of hospitality and we want them to feel the love. Many express that this is what they encountered. Chicago resident Michelle Craig, withered on both the rain and the summer sun for 3 hours. In our community, we do get hot. We get a little hostile, Craig said, describing the experience waiting in line. We are built to be tough. Like everything is tough, tough, tough. She told CBN News her patience paid off and her tough exterior melted away when she was greeted by the boisterous cheers of volunteers stationed at the first tent and staffed with people offering to pray with the guests and musicians playing worship music. When I made it inside, it was worth it because I was going to leave, Craig admitted. Instead, she was overwhelmed by the love and hospitality she received and reduced to tears when embraced by a prayer volunteer. She was like my mother. She was so anointed because it was so pure, Craig said, acknowledging she felt like she received much more than a pair of shoes. I couldn't even stop crying. During time warm welcome, runners were already working behind the scenes to match the correct shoe size for each guest. While they waited, other volunteers filled the time by relaying the message of the gospel with Bible verses and colorful bracelets that illustrate the journey from sin to new life in Christ. It wasn't only Chicago residents who walked away with something they needed. Volunteers gained an intangible benefit that they said fueled their desire to share their faith in bold ways. Norma Billin decided to sign up to help with Time to Revive after watching a documentary featuring Martin's ministry titled The One Who Hears a Call to Obedience. For more than 2 years, a Christian coffee shop in Colorado founded to help the homeless with job training and social mobility has faced a barrage of protests from communists and LGBTQ protesters. Jamie Sanchez, the owner of embattled Christian coffee shop Drip Cafe, operated through his nonprofit Recycle God's Love, joined CBN News to provide an update on these monthly protests. Rather than confront protesters who assembled the first Friday of every month outside the coffee shop, Sanchez said he and other believers have come up with a powerful response worship. We've gone through a whole progression of how we want to react to this situation, and that's just the key right there is. We were reacting, he said. And so that's what they wanted, and we realized that. And so, quietly, honestly, we just ignored them now. Sanchez continued, what we've done is we actually shifted our focus from trying to react to them to worshiping God. So on the first Friday of every month, Drip Cafe partners with a local worship leader to host a live worship night, belting out songs to the Lord. We just have the door wide open and we worship the Lord, and that music flows out into the street, he said. And quite honestly, I forgot that they're even there until I'm walking out of my cafe and they're like screaming in my face, calling me names. I'm like, oh yeah? I forgot you guys were here. I was too busy praising the Lord because he's the one who deserves the attention. Watch him explain. As a result of shifting focus from being reactive to hosting praise, Sanchez said that the fruit has been incredible. In fact, the ministry is seeing lives change through the worship nights with individuals who knew nothing about the ongoing protests, stumbling upon the shop and connecting with the Lord. Honestly, it's happening because of the protests. All these things are happening to glorify God because the enemy tried some tricks and God is using it for good. Sanchez said the building is sometimes so packed with people worshiping that it's standing room only. It's a creative response to a protest that's been ongoing for more than 2 years and shows no signs of slowing down. Ultimately, Sanchez said he knows the battle isn't the mere temporal issue. One thing we already need to realize, it's beyond me. It's beyond the drip coffee shop. It's beyond my ministry, he said. It's beyond all that. It's beyond them. It's spiritual, and a spiritual battle is happening there. Regardless of the pushback, Sanchez said the Drip Cafe has been able to live out its mission of helping the homeless find employment and be disciplined. We've been able to do some pretty amazing stuff beyond just what we expected to do with the homeless community. Sanchez said, individuals coming through are being discipled. He continued, and beyond that, we're just seeing. There's customers coming into the coffee shop who are going through a rough time. We're able to pray for them. We're able to bless them. We're able to lift them up. And that's happening on a daily basis. Sanchez says he knows he's called to continue the Drip Cafe, even as it comes at an immense personal cost. As previously reported, people began gathering in June 2023 outside the shop, shouting, taking aim at the fruits of the ministry's labor. A statement affirming biblical sexuality on the Recycle God's Love website reportedly served as a catalyst for the protest that began then and haven't ceased. The original statement read, homosexuality. This organization is opposed to homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle. Additionally, this organization holds that a homosexual lifestyle is contrary to God's word and purpose for humanity. 1 Timothy 1:10. The Bible instructs that it is a sin that leads to death. Moreover, this organization is instructed to love those living such lifestyles while abhorring their sin. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says the following, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, members of the church are forbidden to practice such sin, and any member found to be in such sin and unrepentant shall be subject to dismissal. And a federal appeals court rejected a challenge to an Oklahoma law that banned sex change drugs and surgeries for minors. Senate Bill 613, which was signed into law in 2023, makes it a felony for medical professionals to perform sex change surgeries or give puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones to minors. Following its enactment, five families of transgender-identifying children and a physician sued the state, claiming the law violates the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection and Due Process Clause by discriminating on the basis of sex and transgender status. Circuit Judge Joel M. Carson, an appointee of the President Donald Trump, disagreed with that assessment, ruling instead that the law turns on the basis of age and medical procedure. Carson cited the Supreme Court's June decision in the United States versus Schenectady, upholding a similar law in Tennessee, with the judge calling the Tennessee and Oklahoma laws functionally indistinguishable. Carson pointed to the Supreme Court's decision, concluded that the Oklahoma law rationally relates to Oklahoma's interest in safeguarding the physical and psychological well-being of minors in light of their debate among medical experts about the risks and benefits associated with treating a minor's gender dysphoria with gender transition procedures. The case is Poe versus Drummond, number 23-5110, in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th District. Israel commandos carried out a rare overnight ground raid near Damascus, Syrian state media said, marking one of the deepest Israeli incursions into Syrian territory since the fall of the Assad regime last year. The Israeli Air Force carried out strikes on multiple Houthi targets in Yemen's capital city, Sana'a, coinciding with a live televised speech by Houthi leader Abdul Malik al-Houthi. Christians in Northern Ireland, once known for violence and religious division, are planning a new March for Jesus after thousands attended the event over the weekend. And Christians urge prayers for the swift and safe release of three church members in northeastern Vietnam, including a Catholic priest, after security forces reportedly detained him during a home worship service. A sweeping post-war strategy for Gaza circulating with the Trump administration envisions the United States taking administrative control of the territory for a decade under an American trusteeship while transforming the war-torn enclave into a hub of luxury, tourism, and advanced technology, according to a Washington Post report. And Israel's diplomatic security cabinet was set to meet to review war plans in Gaza. But the more pressing question before ministers is how to respond to growing international moves to recognize a Palestinian state. Christians in Northern Ireland attended an event over the weekend. Israel's top military commander vowed that the fight against Hamas and its allies will intensify a day after the Israeli Defense Forces eliminated senior Houthi officials in Yemen and Hamas's longtime military spokesman, better known as Abu Obeidah. Iran has detained dozens of Christians on charges of espionage and anti-security activities for Israel, drawing condemnation from rights groups who called them part of a broader crackdown on the country's tiny Christian minority. And the island of Mallorca, Spain, is often seen as an international party destination. For 2 weeks this summer, however, hundreds of Christians there shared the love of Jesus through boardwalk prayers, beach services, and ocean baptisms. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is expected to convene top ministers and aides to examine whether Israel should apply sovereignty over parts of the West Bank, a move tantamount to annexation amid growing momentum at the United Nations for recognition of a Palestinian state. And Israel's leadership signaled the war against Hamas is entering its most crucial stage, with Prime Minister Netanyahu and IDF Chief of Staff Zama pledging to press on until the terror group is destroyed. And members of the Islamic extremist group Boko Haram killed at least 8 Christians in 2 separate attacks across Borneo State over the weekend, Israeli sources and authorities confirmed. Israel successfully launched the Ofik 19 reconnaissance satellite into orbit on Tuesday night, marking a significant leap forward in the nation's military space program and strengthening its intelligence and surveillance capabilities across the Middle East. And President Trump warned that Israel is losing its once dominant influence in Washington and urged Jerusalem to wrap up its military campaign in Gaza before sustaining further damage in global public opinion. And Christians in Nigeria's central Benue state were mourning on Wednesday 7 believers reportedly killed by Islamic Fulani herdsmen in escalating anti-Christian attacks. And a Christian fighter in Pakistan City continues to seek justice for his 13-year-old daughter, who was abducted in July by a Muslim man from the same neighborhood. And Prime Minister Netanyahu has put on hold a controversial plan to apply Israel sovereignty in Judea and Samaria, also known as the West Bank, after receiving sharp warnings from both regional allies and Western nations. The issue was slated for a ministerial discussion on Thursday, but had been replaced by a session focused on the mounting security challenges in the area. And Israel is expanding and upgrading its secretive Negev Nuclear Research Center near Dimona, raising new questions about the country's widely believed status as the Middle East's only nuclear-armed state, according to an in-depth Associated Press report released Wednesday. And Israel's military says it now controls roughly 40% of Gaza City and is nearing control of half its territory as preparations intensify. As the preparations intensify for a wider push to seize the rest of the enclave's largest urban center. And nearly 30 Christians in China's province are on trial after being accused of organizing and using an evil cult to undermine law enforcement. Charges, rights advocates say, are part of an ongoing persecution of believers in the communist-run nation. In an exclusive interview with CBN News, Paul Pettiti, U.S. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee, discusses the importance of the September 9th United Nations General Assembly gathering in New York and why countries wanting to declare a Palestinian state is an insane move and a futile effort. Life is fragile and dangerous for Christians living in the northern and middle belt regions of Nigeria, They face violence that often leads to death, the destruction of their homes, villages, and places of worship. Ultimately, they are forced to flee from the danger, which creates mass displacement for tens of thousands. It is a growing crisis that involves more than 3 million Christians who face persecution because of their faith. Islamic terror groups are behind the vicious attacks, and the Nigerian government appears to be doing very little to stop the brutality. Making matters worse, recent studies on persecution shows the atrocities committed in Nigeria account for nearly 70% of all Christians killed globally. A document about a recent attack on Christians was produced by Truth Nigeria, a news division of Equipping the Persecuted, a humanitarian nonprofit chartered in Sioux City, Iowa, since 2019. The documentary is called A Father's Day Massacre in Yolwaro. The film focuses on the barbaric assault on the village. People who endured the attacks described that 210 villagers were slaughtered in less than 24 hours. The documentary includes horrific images of people burnt alive, families attacked, and homes destroyed. Equipping the Persecuted and Truth Nigeria released a document to sound the alarm about an ongoing radical Islamic terror campaign to eradicate Nigeria's Christians. Judd Saul, a missionary and founder of the organization, is calling on the United States government to intervene to stop the religious persecution. We need to fight this thing threefold. One, America, as the government, needs to get involved. I'm talking very little of our resources. If we just did the very little bit of a push, an aggressive foreign policy, throw some sanctions, whatever it takes, I think we can get a lot of significant intent in this and put a stop to this, Saul said. Republican Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey, who has traveled to many dangerous areas in Nigeria, has introduced a resolution in Congress to help stop the attacks fueled by radical Islamic groups like Fulani Herdsmen, Boko Haram, and other terrorist groups to stop the violence fueled by religious hatred. There's been an exponentially increase in attacks on Christians and some Muslims, but Christians in particular, Protestants, Evangelicals, Catholics, they're firebombing their churches, said Smith. Looking beyond any government response, Judge Saul is calling on the church and Christians in America to stand with their persecuted Nigeria. They need to pray. They need to be a voice for the voiceless. They need to be a voice for our persecuted brothers and sisters. And this concludes our religious news report brought to you by Mulberry Christian Radio. Until next time, have a blessed week.